Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California. And your brain masseur, get ready for your brain massage.
The battle for America is on.
Sedition, insurrection, and treason, oh my. High school drama or high-stakes dueling? How about an update on the Comey thing? Talking about the battle for our liberties ongoing in the courts, here's some good news. The Supreme Court has ruled 5-4 that President has the authority to deport foreign terrorists under the 1798 Alien Enemies Act. The Democrat Party's corruption has reached critical levels, which makes it all the more critical that Republicans clean up their own house. So, what's the Democrat Party platform for 2026? Are you ready? Can you guess? Think about it. Al Green, representative from Texas, declared, quote, "We cannot allow anything to get in the way of impeachment, conviction, and removal. That's what this is about," end quote. There you go. Zohran Mamdani, the light of Muhammad, comes to Trump, the man who said my administration would be Donald Trump's worst nightmare in August 2025. By November 2025, he says, quote, "I intend to make it clear to President Trump that I will work with him on any agenda that benefits New Yorkers," end quote. In a follow-up story to New Yorkers electing a Muslim communist, Texas is cracking down on Muslim immigrants coming into their state and establishing Sharia courts. The British government is at it again. A gang of Brit cops arrive to arrest a teacher for refusing to use the preferred pronoun of a confused student. Religious liberty is a thing in Britain, you know, but the judge is a Psalm 2 rager who wants to break away from the bands and cords of Christ. My friends, it is time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Sedition, insurrection, and treason. Here's a summary of the legal definitions of these words. Treason: it's when an American citizen, in our case, sides with a foreign power to undermine national security. Obama, Clinton. Anyway, insurrection is when a citizen uses violence and force to overthrow the government. Sedition is when a citizen calls on others to rise and revolt against their government or to use force or violence to resist or subvert the execution of law by government officials. Friend, there is zero doubt about who is committing treason, insurrection, and sedition in this country. And it's all coming from the Dems, with the support of a few Republicans, by the way, who are threatened by Trump or just angry with him. The penalty for treason and insurrection can include death. Sedition is a stiff fine up to 20 years in prison or both. However, the United States Uniform Code of Military Justice provides the death penalty for soldiers convicted of committing sedition. Now, you saw that video and you know what these people were doing. They were inciting military personnel actually to act in insurrection or to commit sedition themselves. Trump posted on Truth Social a few statements to the effect that sedition calls for the death penalty. One guy said in a post, "Hang them. That's what George Washington would do." Well, Trump reposted it. That blew their minds. The left is going apoplectic over Trump's statements and totally ignores what these Democrats did in their seditious incitement to insurrection that they sent out directly to military personnel. It is only a centimeter from crossing the line, and it's actually questionable whether or not they did. They carefully inserted the qualifier unlawful order or illegal order. But like I said, on Thursday night during the Brain Massage Live, everyone knows no one can command a soldier to commit an unlawful act. And they did not stipulate what unlawful acts Trump has or, in their view, plans to command. This was nothing else but incitement to soldiers to resist the commander-in-chief of the military, and that is at least sedition. These representatives must be censured for their careless statement, or pressed to declare just exactly what unlawful orders do you have in mind. The Bible lists seditions in that list of sins called the works of the flesh. These are the things that will bar you from inheriting the kingdom of God. Yeah, read it. Galatians 5:19 to 21. The word means to agitate for divisions, to foment dissension. These people are continually driving division and dissension in our country. They are condemned by Christ. In his kingdom, this is not tolerated. Well, we have laws against this behavior in America, too. These wicked people operate in a way that they think keeps them safe, just beyond the reach of that sword mentioned in Romans 13, ordained by God to execute wrath against these evildoers. They say, well, we told the soldiers not to obey an unlawful command. Our soldiers already know that. So what are they trying to do? They're sending a message to any unstable soldier, promising to protect them if they would disobey their commander-in-chief. They should be subpoenaed to appear before a hearing at Congress and drilled down on questions under oath, on questions of the propriety of this behavior, the danger of it, and what exactly they thought they would accomplish with this video. Because if it looks like sedition and smells like sedition, it's, well, probably the duck you think it is. And even a duck can't hold its head underwater forever. Besides, the Democrat response to Trump's statements is a tacit admission that the act was sedition. If they say, well, Trump said acts of sedition raise the specter of the death penalty, and then immediately respond by saying, looky, Trump just said he was going to round us up and execute us. Oh, but you're admitting you committed sedition, right? Isn't that what that amounts to? If they say, well, we didn't commit sedition because we called on our soldiers to disobey an unlawful command. Trump said it was acts of sedition that call for the death penalty. And yet you specifically mentioned Trump in your statement or made clear reference to him. Caroline Leavitt did an excellent job responding to this. She did not allow the press pool swamp. Tim Burchett. A Republican, he argues that the swamp is misnamed. It should be called the sewer. I'm inclined to agree. I've lived in Florida for a short time, and I've seen some beautiful swamps that form naturally and perform a vital role in the ecology of that system. But a sewer, now that's a man-made place to collect human excrement. It's where all the feces belongs. It's dark and stinky and wretched, full of diseases. We have a backed-up sewer, friend, and we're trying to clear it. Trump is clearing the plumbing and flushing the toilets anyway. But thank you for raising the question of sedition. Now that we've looked into this and understand more clearly what it means, well, now we know that every state official who calls for actions to circumvent federal law should be charged with sedition. But the left is legalistic, though unlawful. How does that work? Well, here's the difference. These six people committed sedition. Senator Alyssa Slotkin, Democrat, Michigan. Senator Kelly, Democrat, Arizona. Senator Crow, Democrat, Colorado. Representative DeLuzio, that's Democrat, Pennsylvania. Representative Goldlander, Democrat, New Hampshire. And Representative Chrissy Houlihan, Democrat, Pennsylvania. No relation to Margaret. Anyway, I accuse these six Congress members of sedition. I expect they'll object. No, we called on our military to resist illegal orders. A little fine point there, a little technical loophole. You did not stipulate any illegal orders that they should resist because, well, there are no illegal orders commanded by our commander-in-chief. You can't name one. Well, yeah, actually you could because there are actions you have responded to as illegal. As against the law, as being a dictator. So you get yourself in a snare here. There are actions that you on record calling, or your party is on record calling, illegal. You've tried to thwart him in the courts, and there are executive orders you have called contrary to the Constitution, stuff like that. And that's your right to do so, but you must legally pursue remedy. What you did here is not legal. You didn't name any illegal order in your statement because you know everything Trump has done, he's done carefully within the limits of his constitutional powers. Now, I say you're counting on members of the military who agree with your political point of view to resist and refuse to obey the commander-in-chief's lawful orders that you disagree with because you can't get the SCOTUS to rule in your favor. You said to the soldiers you hope will answer your call that if you do it, we have your backs. And right there, you implicated yourself in their actions. You have called on the soldiers to take when you said, we have your back. You have committed sedition. You're a wicked lot, evil. And according to the Bible, you're fomenting division and fomenting dissent against the lawful president of the United States and against his execution of the laws of the land. You are seditious. Now, there's a difference between legalistic and lawful. Now, the difference is that a legalist will commit an unlawful act under the cover of legal technicalities. We don't have time to look at examples of this in the Bible, but they're there. But a lawful person will respect the spirit of the law and refrain from violating its intent. Your intent is clear, and it is exposed by the fact that you hide behind a legal technicality. You are condemned by the law of Christ's kingdom as committing sedition, fomenting rebellion. A devilish divisiveness animates you, and you're unfit for the kingdom of Christ. You might stand just beyond the reach of our laws by your legalism trick, but you stand under the full weight of God's disapprobation and disfavor for your sedition against the kingdom of Christ. Now, his judgment on that matter will arrive at another time. Right now, I caution you, repent. All right, my friends, it's time for a break. I'll be right back. I'm Dr. Jerry Scheinbach, your host for the Brain Massage Show. I interviewed Pornabal Wog, running for assembly in the 37th District. She outlined five things she believes are critical to address in order to save California. I thought she demonstrated keen insight and understanding of what our state needs. Here is number three.
The third one is a surplus of oil and gas, and we can become a net exporter. Oil and gas, or particularly oil, well, gasoline is very expensive in this state. It's the most expensive state for gasoline. It's almost $1.50, almost $2 more than the national average. And that's because we have, you know, these blends, the summer blends and winter blends. And on moreover, it's how you make these blends. The whole process, it's so expensive to make the blends. And so they have to pass the costs of making these expensive blends on to the customer. So our gas and oil are very expensive. We've also got other ways to become energy efficient. We've got three big nuclear plants, two of which are being completely dismantled. One is the PG&E nuclear power station in Humboldt. I think it's no more. And the San Onofre in near Camp Pendleton, that has been dismantled. And the last one, which is still sort of running, but maybe 5 to 10%, you know, efficiency, is the Diablo Canyon. And all these three need to be up and running again. So we've got nuclear power, which can probably, we can get 20 to 30% out of that. Oil and gas, which we can probably get 60%. And you got solar and you got wind. But those should be ancillary. Those should be way down on our list. But the big ones are oil and gas, nuclear, and then the distant third and fourth could be geothermal and hydropower is another one. We've got a lot of dams in the state, and we can get a lot of hydroelectricity. Unfortunately, we're trying to get rid of dams. We've gotten rid of two dams up on the Klamath River already in Northern California. So we're going backwards instead of going forwards.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheinbach is
hello
on
and air. Welcome back. I'm Dr. Jerry Scheinbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Well, let's complete commentary on the act of sedition perpetrated by two Democrat senators and four representatives, Alyssa Slotkin and Mark Kelly, senators, and Jason Crow, Chris DeLuzio, Maggie Goodlander, and Chrissy Houlihan, no relation to hot lips, all of these got together and committed an act of sedition. Thank you for bringing up the issue of sedition, by the way, now that this has come up. Well, we have all looked into the meaning of the word, and now we see Democrats are operating all sorts of seditious schemes. Some examples are sanctuary cities, such as San Francisco, Los Angeles, Oakland, Berkeley, Coachella, Watsonville, Williams here in California. In fact, California declared itself a sanctuary state with the California Values Act, Senate Bill 54. These sanctuary city laws are a direct effort to subvert the federal justice system to interfere with the execution of law enforcement. Have you ever heard of the Supremacy Clause? Every state that is part of this republic is obliged to support laws that our Congress passes. That's the law. If you have a problem with that, well, you challenge it in our courts or you attempt to overturn it through legislature. But what you don't do is decide you're the law and go vigilante. These are states and cities that have broken from the law and become legal vigilantes. You are violating the law. Your actions are unlawful. Not Trump's, yours. Now, how about an update on the Comey thing? Comey's not even trying to dispute the evidence of wrongdoing. His first line of defense is to disqualify the prosecution and have his case thrown out on a technicality. Here we go again. The Democrats, like the devils that animate them, are legalists. The grand jury that indicted Comey had a clerical glitch that Comey tried to exploit. Apparently, there was some ambiguity on whether the grand jury actually formally voted, or at least that question was raised. But here's the problem Comey has. The grand jury acknowledged the discrepancy in the record and corrected it by directing that the corrected two-count indictment be docketed. The court and the foreperson on the jury confirmed the vote on the two-count indictment, and the official transcript of that proceeding leaves no room for ambiguity. Well, that must have slammed hard upon Comey's head. The whole thing ended up strengthening the case against Comey. Now the jury has doubled down on its indictment. As for the effort to disqualify U.S. Attorney Lindsey Halligan, saying she was improperly appointed to the Comey case, has also evaporated. Comey is now forced into a trial where he was going to have to mount a defense against the incontrovertible evidence that stands against him for his indefensible crimes. Talking about the battle for our liberties ongoing in the courts, here's some good news. The Supreme Court has ruled 5-4 that the president has the authority to deport foreign terrorists under the 1798 Alien Enemies Act. Jesse Waters checked in with Caroline Levitt on this, and she confirms the SCOTUS has green-lighted the continued deportation of Trinidad-Aragua terrorists, a gang designated a foreign terrorist organization operating on American soil. Yeah, and those dirty Dems are trying to block us from taking care of this. What the court did, in fact, was dismiss the temporary restraining order, removed it, that was placed against the administration by Boasberg, which halted deportations of Trinidad-Aragua terrorists temporarily. The SCOTUS removed this, what's called TRO, temporary restraining order. Amy dissented. Yeah. She dissented essentially on the argument that the SCOTUS action failed to uphold the right of these detainees to judicial review of their case. Now, I've got the order right here in my notes. You can look at it. The majority made it clear they agreed the human rights principle and the innocent till proven guilty principle all applies, but their case must be presented in the correct venue, in this case, Texas, and on the correct grounds, and that would be habeas. You can see the order here. Now, this means that the Supreme Court acknowledged the detainees' right to seek judicial review of the legality of their detention. Well, they've had that review. When you have a 5-4 decision these days, it means Amy decided to vote with the liberals. The argument of the majority plainly declares, for all the rhetoric of the dissents, that the majority confirmed that the detainees subject to removal orders under the AEA, Alien Enemies Act, are entitled to notice and an opportunity to challenge their removal. End quote. So what's Amy's problem with this thing? Well, I haven't read her dissent. I haven't had a chance to do that. I'll do it later and get to you on it during Brain Massage Live. The Democrat Party's corruption has reached critical levels, which makes it all the more important that Republicans clean up their own house. Now, here's a shout out to Gunther Eagleman on X, at Gunther Eagleman, for compiling this list of Congress clowns milking Americans like a cow. We have a woman in the House who stole $5 million from FEMA, and that's a Democrat. We have a dude who begged Jeffrey Epstein for money after his conviction. That's Hakeem Jeffries, by the way, a Democrat. We have a lady who was texting with Epstein during a congressional hearing, and that would be Stacey Plaskett, by the way, a non-voting delegate to the House representing the U.S. Virgin Islands, a Democrat. We have a dude in Congress pretending to be a woman. Sarah McBride was born male based on biological chromosomal criteria, you know, scientific data. Later on, she decided to identify as a female and resents it when anyone uses his dead name, which is why I couldn't find it. When I asked when did he die, I was told he did not die. I was relieved that a man did not die and returned as a woman. Yeah, I'm struggling with the algorithms again. Anyway, another demented Democrat. We have a jihadist lady who married her brother, Ilhan Omar. Really did do that. Bizarre. Another demented Democrat. We have a dude who was banging a Chinese spy. Swalwell is on the Judiciary and Homeland Security Committees. Having sexual relations with a Chinese spy, you would think, might disqualify him in any other universe. I thought this character lost his security clearance. I checked. Turns out, there's no record of that occurring. Why? Well, he was in bed, literally, with a known Chinese spy. So what can be a problem there? Anyway, that's a good question for Johnson to address. Is this part of the backroom dealing that's going on here lately, where the Democrats hold Republicans hostage over censuring the Virgin Islands delegate, you know, getting advice from Trump hater Epstein on how to go after Trump during a congressional hearing in order to protect one of their own? You know, it's one of these, you cover our guy, we'll cover your gal. Anyway, Swalwell is a Democrat, and Corey Mills is the guy that we're talking about here. We have an old alcoholic hag who is up to her neck in money from insider trading. Nancy Pelosi, alleged J6 riot planner and insurrectionist, a Democrat. We have a not-so-gentle lady punching ICE agents, LaMonica McIver, Democrat, New Jersey. We have a dude who made up Russian lies. Oh, Shifty Schiff, remember him? One of the slimiest salamanders to slither through the swamp. Right up there with Comey, another Democrat. We have a dude who drinks margaritas with gang members. Of course, Representative Van Hollen says the margarita glasses were planted there by the El Salvadorians, you know. But why didn't he move them? He was practically drooling over the gangbanger anyway. During that meeting, another Democrat tried to interfere with the president keeping his promises to the American people, doing what we voted for him to do. We have staffers committing lewd acts of sodomy in a Senate chamber room. What's that about? Legislative aide to Senator Ben Cardin was caught in room 216 of the Hart Senate office building engaged in sodomy. Capitol Police investigated, but apparently it's not against the law to engage in sodomy in the Capitol building. But you had better not walk in at the behest of Capitol Police, because if you do that, you might get 4 to 5 years in prison, man. Anyway, another Democrat, by the way, a bunch of Democrats involved. We have a dude who has drinking episodes in Mexico, for which he's been banned from foreign travel. Good night. Oh, wait a minute. Looky here. That's Crenshaw. That was a Republican. So how about that? We got 11 D's and 1 R. The level of Democrat corruption is concerning, and it's spilling over into the other side of the aisle. Oh, I need to wrap it up. We are waiting for the Epstein files to be released. Pressure has subsided since the Epstein Files Transparency Act, H.R. 4405, passed 427-1. That's unheard of. And the Senate approved the measure by unanimous consent. The bill was signed into law on November 19. So it's law. Thank you, Mr. President. The Attorney General, Pam Bondi, has 30 days to release all unclassified DOJ Epstein-related records, end quote. You know, Zamram Mamdani, his name can be interpreted as the light of Muhammad, comes to Trump now. The man who said my administration would be Donald Trump's worst nightmare 4 months later says, I intend to make it clear to President Trump that I will work with him on any agenda that benefits New Yorkers. You know, give me liberty or give me death, Patrick Henry, 1775. Now, you can have my liberty, just give me more free stuff, New Yorkers, 2025. These are the people who equate freedom with freedom from responsibility to meet your own needs. Look, if you don't have God, all that's left for you is the approximating, all-powerful resource of government. Government is working hard to become omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. We want to talk about that Saturday night during Brain Massage Live. The whole AI, digital currency, all of that. But it will never replace, nor will it ever successfully compete with God. It will never love you like God does. It's never going to die for you. Government can't give you anything it does not take from someone else. It absurdly pretends to give you stuff free, only in the end, those dependent on government handouts discover the government can't help you when it runs out of other people's money. Remember Margaret Thatcher? She said the problem with socialism, /communism, is that you eventually run out of other people's money. Ma'am Danny seems to have gotten that memo, and he's already trying to schmooze Trump. Soften him up a little bit to get on his good side. I guess he figures he's going to need Trump to bail out New York when his plans collapse. And Trump's not going to do that. And so he needs to set up Trump as a scapegoat for why he can't save New York. Listen, fella, many people a lot smarter than you have tried that. And it just falls back. It's just going to roll back on you. So I've got to get going here. I've lit the lamps of the church belfry arch. You let me know you see they're on. You can email me by going to our website, brainmassage.net. Again, brainmassage.net. Find the contact button and fill out the form there and send me a message. You can leave a message for me on our listener response hotline. Dial 1-805-314-2114. And I do love to hear from my audience, so please give me a call. Take a little moment there and let me know what you think about the show. Or give me a piece of your mind to chew on. I've certainly let you have mine. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
Encounter God. The word encounter means to meet, to experience, to come face to face, to confront. Many encounters are routine happenstances, but even these can have a major impact on our lives. I'm sure each of you listening to this can think of encounters that made a difference in your life. But the greatest life-changing encounter in any life will be those encounters with God that make a difference. Perhaps you've encountered God in the past, but it's been a while since you experienced God in a vital, meaningful encounter. Renew your experience of God with a fresh encounter this year that will impact your life for spiritual growth. Perhaps you've never experienced God, and He doesn't seem real to you. You can encounter God, and when you do, your life will take on new meaning and purpose, and you'll know that God is real. Your next brain massage is scheduled for Saturday at 12 noon and Sunday at 7 a.m.